Today the sermon title is At the Crossroads. Churches in America are at the crossroads. Are they going to stay true to the Word of God or slip away into apostasy? Many works today, in many ways, we are the Puritans. We are the separatists. At Crossroads Gospel Church, we have said over and over that we believe the Word, that we stand on the truth, and we act in faith in what it says. If you believe only part of it, then you believe none of it. The open assault on God's Word has taken its toll on the church in America today. Only 1/3 of all Americans believe in the literal truth of the Scripture. Even among Christians, only about 50% believe in the literal truth of the Scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to start there today. 1 Timothy and chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times," or we can say the last days, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." We see this today on a daily basis. The church in America is walking away from the truth of God's Word. With this as our backdrop today, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. A little later on, we're going to leave this chapter, but we're going to come back to it. So you might want to save your place there if you can. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we pick up the reading at verse 13, so 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13, it says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those that have died, those that have passed away in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the highest Christian holiday of all holidays, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. All of Christianity sets on this truth. Our door of faith rests on this hinge of Christ's resurrection. Paul says here, "If this did not happen, we are all liars and you are lost." Verse 15 in the NLT says, "We are liars and we are false witnesses, and you are still lost today." Verse 19, it said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men the most pitiable." In the NLT it says, "We are to be more pitied than anyone in the world." Saints, I'm going to carry this even farther. If the resurrection of the Lord and our Savior did not happen, then not just part of the Bible is not true, it's none of it true. If this did not happen, then this whole Bible is not true. If it did not happen, we are wasting our time and we can throw this book away because it's all meaningless. But listen to what Paul says. He says it is true. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, he says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in all Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are who are Christ at his coming. So we are supposed to take Paul's word for it, that since Paul said it was true, then we should take it as being a fact? And the answer is no. Because Paul turns around before this, he proves that what he is saying is true. If you back up to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now listen to verse 3. "For I delivered to you first of all that Christ, which I also received, that Christ for our sins died according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What's Paul telling about? Paul's trying to talk to the Jewish people and say, you need to believe what I'm telling you, because Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. When it says that he died according to the Scriptures, he's taking them all the way back to the Old Testament and say, see where it says here, see where it says here, see where it says here. This Christ fulfilled all of that. That he is the Messiah. He was the appointed one that we all should have been looking forward to. And when he got here, we should have embraced him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Of all, Jesus was the promised Messiah. So when you look at verse 4, "and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Of all, Jesus was the promised Messiah. Number one, he was the fulfillment of prophecy, prophesied Scriptures. This not only makes Christ true, but listen to me. This not only makes Christ true, this not only makes his death true, this doesn't only make his resurrection true, this makes all Scripture true. All Scripture is true, because he is the fulfillment of that Scripture before our very eyes. In Matthew 24, in verse 35, it says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Matthew chapter 5, and verse 18 in the NLT says, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved." Jesus' death and resurrection not only proves that he was the promised Messiah, but that Scripture is true. Paul says, if you don't believe me, go and talk to those who saw him after his death and resurrection. Look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "And he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." Some have already physically died. But if you don't believe me, they're still alive. You go and talk to them. Ask them if they truly saw the resurrected Christ. After that, in verse 7, he says, "After that he was seen by James and by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, by one born out of due time." There is no denying this truth. And because he was resurrected, so you and I will be resurrected, because it said he's the first fruit. Christ's death and resurrection was and is an historical fact. What makes an historical fact? The original documentation, which we have here. Supporting documentation, which you couldn't put all the books about Jesus in this room. It would be overflowing outside of the windows. Eyewitnesses that saw the fact. The truth passed on from generation to generation. That's what makes historical truth. Now, what makes scientific truth or a fact? The repeat of the process with the same outcome. So if you took a pan of gas out here and filled it up with gas and took a match and threw it in there and you heard whoop and it blew up into flames, and you did that 100 times, you could say, well, when you throw a match in a can of gas, it's going to glow up. I remember when I was a kid, we lived across from the grade school there in Pleasantville for a certain amount of time. And when you were an old guy like all of us, when you were a kid, you always got milk in the afternoon at school. And it was always these little cardboard cartons of milk. Well, after school, there at the grade school, they always had kids from the school that would work for the school. And I think they were working for their lunch at that time, but they don't do that anymore. But they'd grab all those cartons and take them down and put them in this pile. And every day they'd go out and they'd put a little bit of gas around those cartons. They'd throw a match and they'd light that. Well, the boys got to doing it as a thing. Who could put the most gas on it before you threw a match on it? So every day that fire got a little bigger. This got to be entertaining. Every day it got a little bigger and a little bigger. I mean, this is a mountain of milk cartons. And this one boy, he comes out there with a whole gallon of gas, or how much it was in there, and he pours it, and he pours it, and he pours it, and he pours it, and he stood back and he threw a match in it. And let me tell you, before you ever heard any woof, before you ever saw any flame, those milk cartons hovered above the ground about 4 feet. And then it was woof. That boy didn't have any eyelashes, eyebrows, or nothing. But he was a winner. Scientific proof, you have to do something over and over and over to make it scientific proof. If you can't, you cannot repeat evolution. Listen to me, you cannot repeat evolution. It is not a scientific fact. You cannot repeat global warming. It is not a scientific fact. They are only theories. When people tell me that they are following the science, I get a little nervous anymore because we hear that all the time from our apologists. Well, I'm following the science. Well, I've heard a lot of science that didn't prove out to be a fact. You remember when we were all supposed to take shots for the dreaded COVID disease? And they said, if you take the shot, you can go whatever you want, do whatever you want, because you won't catch it. And people were catching it after they got the shot. That was scientific proof. So you tell me that something is scientific proof and I get just a little bit skeptical. Church, we need to follow the written word of God, not what man is saying is scientific proof. The death and the resurrection of Christ, we said, did what? It not only proved that he was the Messiah, but also proved that all prophecy is true and the word of God is true. In 1950, the acceptance of Darwin's theory of evolution started to be taught in the public school system. Did you catch the word? The theory of evolution. Something that has not, cannot, and nor has it been proved as being true. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in the written word of God. You hear that? It takes more faith to believe in evolution in a theory that is not proven and cannot be proven than it does the written word of God, where we have documented proof that it is the truth. Now turn with me to Psalms 19. Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to go a little further. So Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2, and it says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now go to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is a great reward. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20. In Romans 1 and verse 20. Verse 20 it says, for since the creation of the world is invisible, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So what? So that they are without excuse. You are without an excuse of believing and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior every day when you walk out. In fact, when you walk out the church today and you look at them big blue skies, you know that God is the one that put them there. And we praise Him forevermore because it rejoices, it shows the truth of the Scripture. Evolution is only a theory. And that is shown through science and the Scripture to be untrue. Let me say that again. Evolution is only a theory. That is shown through science. And it's also shown through the Scripture to be untrue. Through the Bible, we learn that the earth is around 6,000 years old. They can do that by genealogical records. We can say that it's 6,000 years with an allowance of a few thousand years because of the records of genealogical. Science says the earth is 4.5 billion years plus or minus 50 million. That's pretty close, isn't it? All which was arrived by carbon dating and radiometric dating. That is all proven to be guessing because they cannot prove anything. In Genesis 1:1, if you turn with me to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. It says, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If Satan can get people to question Genesis 1:1, then they will begin to question every aspect of the Bible. You see what he's tried to do? We have churches today that are teaching evolution. We have churches that are accepting evolution in their church. This church does not accept evolution. This church only accepts the true written Word of God and what it says, that He is created by God. I want to read a scripture to you that came to my mind as I was writing this down. It was Mark 14:27. And the scripture says, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." Now that's relating to Jesus, that Jesus was going to be struck on the cross. And it was relating that the sheep would scatter after that took place. And it did. But Jesus came to them. I turned it around this way in my mind. Is you strike the foundation of God's Word and the believers will scatter. And we have seen that come to pass in our midst in so many churches that are not aligning themselves with the Word of God. I started in the beginning that we're the separatists of the day. We are the Puritans of the day. Because the number of churches that are standing on the literal Word of God are getting fewer and fewer and fewer, and those churches have gone into apostasy. If Satan can get people to question Genesis 1:1, they will begin to question every aspect of the Bible. If God did not create the world, if this is not true, then Genesis 1:26 isn't true. And if you look at Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." If that isn't true, then Genesis 1:27 is not true. And if you look at 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him." If it isn't true, we can change that. We can change it to whatever we want. If God's Word is not true on Genesis 1:1 that He created the earth, and I don't believe that this is God's Word, and I'm going to align myself with evolution, then maybe I'm not a boy and maybe I'm not a girl. Maybe I can make a decision whatever that I want to be, but you cannot change yourself genetically. You can change yourself on the outside. You can't change yourself on the inside. Because we are created male and female by our Creator, the Lord God Almighty. We cannot change that. But a world that is unknown and a world that believes this is filled with some of God's Word but is filled with other things as well, then they can make it up as they go, whatever that they want to do. If that isn't true, then Genesis 2:24 is not true. In Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Then if it's not true, then we can make marriage to be whatever we want marriage to be. Because the Word of God is not true. If Genesis 3 isn't true, we do not need a Savior. We can save ourselves. If Genesis 7 isn't true, the story of the ark is not true. Crossroads, we believe the Word, stand on its truth, and we act in faith in what it says. We don't add to, we do not take away from. This is God's Word. It can direct your life. It can guide your life. It'll lead you back to your Heavenly Father. It shows you the way to salvation. And there's nothing outside of these four walls that will do that. Amen. Young people that are still in the school system today do not believe the half-truths and the untruths of the world. When you walk out of this church believing and knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you graduate from high school, when you go to college believing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that this is the true Word of God, every bit of it, and you stand on every bit of it. And don't you ever let anybody change your mind. Maybe it's time for somebody in this church to act in faith in what God says, that you are at a crossroads. The church in America is at a crossroads. It's going to go one way or it's going to go the other. And I think there's going to be pockets of truth. The same message I preached today was the same message I was preaching 35 years ago. And if the Lord would tarry 35 years from now, I'm still going to be preaching the same message. The Word of God is true, and you need to stand on it, and you can find your salvation through the Word of God. That the salvation that we find is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation that is found in no other. He is the chief cornerstone. Amen. As the church is in the crossroads of their life, maybe you today as an unbeliever or have not sold out or have not made up your mind that maybe in your own life you are at a crossroads. That's where this church got its name. Many people enter the crossroads of their life. Am I going to go this way? Am I going to go this way? We've shown you everything that you need to know from the Scripture today. There's no denying the truth of Jesus, that He died and that He resurrected. It does not matter what the world says. It's an historical fact that you can take it to the bank. And because you can take it to the bank, you can take the whole Word of God to the bank. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just rejoice so much in your Word that we can adhere to it, we can cling to it, we can walk on it, and we can walk in it. That it's there for us to lead and guide and direct our lives. And we praise you forevermore. It is the only truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living Word of God. And we praise Him forevermore. Amen. God bless you.